Hello. Welcome to Whispering Ned's prompt number 91. And I've been banging my head against this prompt for a couple of weeks. It's I wanted to do something a little bit creepier, a little bit more horror-ish, or, you know, I know it's not Halloween, far from it, but one of my favourite creepy books is The Willows by Algernon Blackwood. And I couldn't figure out, I wanted to read a snippet from that, and I couldn't think of a name for the prompt. I was thinking anthropomorphism, nah. I was thinking personifying the elements or the environment. I was thinking, alien entities, malevolent alien entities. In a other dimension, and just all sorts of crazy shit, and I've given up on it. And in the meantime, we did gibberish and absurdity, and not many people did it, which is fine. But the ones that did, superb. I loved all the variations and different takes on it, and I much appreciate the effort that goes into it. And the fun that you have, from what I can glean. So I'll read a snippet from this short story by Algernon Blackwood. It was written in 1907, I think, or it was published in 1907. And to think, all it is, it's just a story about two guys, an English guy and a Swedish guy, that just go sailing down the Danube. And there's a flood and some horrendous weather, and they end up getting stranded on a sandy bank of an island in the middle of the Danube, and the willows haunt them. And that's all it's about. Sounds really weird, but it's a great tale, in my opinion. And it's strange to think that was 10 years before the First World War, and then there was the Second World War. But that's when them words are from. So I'll read a snippet from that. And I'm just going to call the prompt The Willows. So do what you want with it. The eeriness of this lonely island, set among a million willows, swept by a hurricane and surrounded by hurrying deep waters, touched us both, I fancy. Untrodden by man, almost unknown to man, it lay there beneath the moon, remote from human influence, on the frontier of another world, an alien world, a world tenanted by willows only and the soul of willows. And we, in our rashness, had dared to invade it, even to make use of it. Something more than the power of its mystery stirred in me as I lay on the sand, feet to fire, and peered up through the leaves at the stars. For the last time I rose to get firewood. When this has burnt up, I said firmly, I shall turn in. And my companion watched me lazily as I moved off into the surrounding shadows. For an unimaginative man, I thought he seemed unusually receptive that night, unusually open to suggestions of things other than sensory. He too was touched by the beauty and loneliness of the place. I was not altogether pleased, I remember, to recognise this slight change in him, and instead of immediately collecting sticks, I made my way to the far point of the island where the moonlight on plain and river could be seen to better advantage. The desire to be alone had come suddenly upon me. My former dread returned in force. There was a vague feeling in me I wished to face and probe to the bottom. When I reached the point of sand jutting out among the waves, the spell of the place descended upon me with a positive shock. No mere scenery could have produced such an effect. There was something more here, something to alarm. I gazed across the waste of wild waters. I watched the whispering willows. I heard the ceaseless beating of the tireless wind. And, one and all, each in its own way, stirred in me this sensation of a strange distress. But the willows especially, forever they went on chattering and talking amongst themselves, laughing a little, shrilly crying out, sometimes sighing. But what it was they made so much to do about belonged to the secret life of the great plain they inhabited, and it was utterly alien to the world I knew, or to that of the wild yet kindly elements. They made me think of a host of beings from another plane of life, another evolution altogether, perhaps, all discussing a mystery known only to themselves. I watched them moving busily together, oddly shaking their big bushy heads, twirling their myriad leaves even when there was no wind. They moved of their own will as though alive, and they touched, by some incalculable method, my own keen sense of the horrible. There they stood in the moonlight, like a vast army surrounding our camp, shaking their innumerable silver spears defiantly, formed all ready for an attack. The psychology of places, for some imaginations at least, is very vivid. For the wanderer especially, camps have their note, either of welcome or rejection. At first it may not always be apparent, because the busy preparations of tent and cooking prevent, but with the first pause, after supper usually, it comes and announces itself. And the note of this willow camp now became unmistakably plain to me. We were interlopers, trespassers, we were not welcomed. The sense of unfamiliarity grew upon me as I stood there watching. We touched the frontier of a region where our presence was resented. For a night's lodging we might perhaps be tolerated, but for a prolonged and inquisitive stay, no. By all the gods of the trees and wilderness, no. We were the first human influences upon this island, and we were not wanted. The willows were against us. Strange thoughts like these, bizarre fancies, born I know not whence, found lodgment in my mind as I stood listening. What, I thought, if, after all, these crouching willows proved to be alive, if suddenly they should rise up like a swarm of living creatures, marshalled by the gods whose territory we had invaded, sweep towards us off the vast swamps, booming overhead in the night, and then settle down. As I looked, it was so easy to imagine they actually moved, creep nearer, retreated a little, huddled together in masses, hostile, waiting for the great wind that should finally start them a-running. I could have sworn their aspect changed a little, and their ranks deepened and pressed more closely together. The melancholy shrill cry of a night bird sounded overhead, and suddenly I nearly lost my balance as the piece of bank I stood upon fell with a great splash into the river, undermined by the flood. I stepped back just in time and went on hunting for firewood again, half laughing at the odd fancies that crowded so thickly into my mind and cast their spell upon me. I recall the Swede's remark about moving on the next day, and I was just thinking that I fully agreed with him when I turned with a start and saw the subject of my thoughts standing immediately in front of me. He was quite close. The roar of the elements had covered his approach. So,